when it was, there we go. All right. Well, I'm sure you heard me anyway. I can carry a little bit there. All righty. Well, we are going to open our scriptures to Luke 2, 13 and 14. And the message that we have left for the brief time that we have yet for the morning together is about the glory of God. And we're going to be looking just how amazing His glory is. I've always said to my youth kids years ago and in other churches that I've served with that if your Jesus doesn't blow your mind, then your Jesus is way too small. And that when we consider the glory of God, we say the word glory all the time. But yet what truly is the glory of God? And that is what we're going to look at here. And Luke 2, 13 and 14, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom He is pleased." As we have been going through the narrative and the story of the Nativity story, each of these people have been giving glory to God. And what is glory? Glory, as defined by the dictionary, is this. Here's two different definitions: praise, honor, or distinction extended by common consent. So this means that glory, we give glory to someone or something worthy of praise due to its universally recognized excellence. So it's not just that it's glorious, but everybody else agrees that this is glorious. Here's another even better definition. It says this: paying homage in worshipful praise, giving honor and thanksgiving to someone or something, something that has supernatural characteristics and secures its own praise or renown, and that is derived from its achievements, unique beauty, exaltation, and splendor. Big words. And yes, we are using some big words here. But take a look and see that if that's the definition of glory, these characters we've already looked at in the story, how did these people give glory to God? Elizabeth and Zechariah glorified God in their faithful patience, waiting on God. Mary glorified God in her exaltation and praise. Joseph glorified God in his obedience. The shepherds glorified God in their sharing of the gospel. Remember, it says they walked away and they left with exceedingly great joy. The wise men glorified God in their worship of Jesus. And so as we consider how these people glorified God, we can even take a look and see, how do we glorify God? We glorify God by our faithfulness, by our obedience, by praise, sharing, and in our worship. But what exactly is the glory of God? We looked at what glory is. What do the angels mean when they say glory to God? And I'm going to give us three ideas of what glory to God means. First, this is a direction of the angels giving glory to God. They're saying glory to God. They are giving glory to God themselves. It is an expression of the angels displaying the glory of God on earth, because not only there were a multitude, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. So the glory of the Lord is a thing. It's a noun. It is a place. It is that the glory of the Lord shone round about them. So not only can we give glory to God, but there is also a presence of the glory of God. And finally, this glory to God is an invitation, an imperative for all creation to glorify God both in that moment and forevermore. And so when we say glory to God, not only is it just saying, hey, God is due glory, there is the glory of God, but it is an invitation for us to give Him glory. I want to share a few short passages this morning to kind of get us an idea of what does the glory of God even look like. This comes from Revelation 1, 12 through 18. And this is when John is writing the revelation. He sees Jesus in His glorified state. No wonder when the wise men and the shepherds and even Mary and Joseph, when they are encountered by the angels, by the divine, they are afraid. It says, "Do not be afraid, do not be afraid." Here is a description of the glorified Jesus in Revelation 1:12. "Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands. In the midst of the lampstand was one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe, with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. His voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. In his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell as though dead. But he laid his hand on me, saying," remember, this is John. This is the same John that saw Jesus on the Last Supper, and is kind of, you know, snuggling up to his shoulder. This is not the same Jesus. That's the earthly incarnation of Jesus. This is Jesus in his glorified state. This is what we are looking towards. And Jesus says this: "Fear not, for I am the first and last. I am the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys to death and Hades." You see, that baby didn't stay in the manger. That baby became a man. That baby became, went on the cross, died, rose again, and now we see him in his glorious state. Here's another description of the glory of God. Here he is as a lamb. This is Revelation 5:11-14, says this: "Then I looked, and I saw around the throne and all the living creatures and the elders and the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads of thousands and thousands with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, wealth, and wisdom, and might, and honor, and glory, and blessing.' And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth," so glory in heaven, glory on earth, "giving glory to God under the earth and in the sea and all in them, saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and,'" here's the word again, "glory and might forevermore." I don't know if we can wrap our heads around this, that this is what we can expect in heaven. Our lives are but the little blip from these stories. These people in the nativity story, they step up, they say their lines, and then they step back. Elizabeth and Zechariah stepped up, they said their lines, and then they faded off into history. Even Mary and Joseph stepped up and faded off into history. All of the characters step up, do their thing, and then they come back. This is the central focus. Here's what it says here in Hebrews 1:3. This is what the NIV says: "The sun in the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." This is not just, this is Jesus. This is the Jesus that we pray to. When we approach the throne of grace with confidence to receive grace and mercy, this is the image that we can start to put in our mind, that it's not just the, it's not the Jesus on the cross. It's so interesting. You see, little necklaces and the crucifix, and you see Jesus on the cross, but he's not. That's not the Jesus we're praying to. We're praying to a glorified Jesus. We are praying to a Jesus that dwells in inapproachable light, and yet we can approach with confidence. Sometimes we have to remember, dare we consider where we stand? When Moses stood in the presence of God, a small part of his glory in the burning bush, the voice from the bush said, "Take off your sandals, because where you are standing is holy ground." When we approach the throne of grace with confidence, dare we remember where we stand, that in a spiritual sense, we are in and among what's going on here. When we say, "Dear Lord," we join with the angels who sing, "Holy, holy, holy." was talking to someone earlier this week, and I said this is what's called the superlative, which means he's not just holy, not just holier than most, he is the holiest. He's the holiest. And when we sing and praise him, we are with the angels saying, God, you are holy. You're holier than everyone else. You are the holiest. So there is only one question that remains, and that is, how do we give glory to God? In a couple of weeks, when we get back to our series in John, there's a story in John 9 where there's a man who was born blind, and the Pharisees come up to him, and they say an interesting line. And this is what they say. A second time they called for the man who had been blind and said, give glory to God. We know this man is a sinner. Now, the Pharisees are trying to say that they think Jesus is a sinner. However, they reveal something interesting about how we give glory to God. Basically, what they're saying is, be honest. Be a man of integrity. Tell us the real truth. The first way that we give glory to God is in our integrity, is in our honesty, and in the transparent way that we live our lives before people. Give glory to God. Yes. Now, they're saying, you tell us the truth because we don't like this guy. They said, tell the truth about this guy. Another way that we give glory to God is in Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light so shine before men so that they can see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Our integrity, the way that we live, the way that we worship and serve adds to the glory of God. Now, there is no way that we can make God any more glorious than he already is. Our worship simply reveals his glory to others. It lets us get a little glimpse of his glory. But most of all, it shines the light of that glory, saying, look how glorious this one is. Look how wonderful he is. Look how loving he is and wants to come into your life and change you from the inside out. One last example here. As we consider how we give glory to God in 1 Corinthians 10:31-33, it says this, so whether you eat or drink or whether you do all to the glory of God. And then dropping down to verse 33, he says, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. He says, I'm not living my life to please myself. I'm not living to say it's all about me. You see, we as humans tend to be glory hounds. We tend to be glory seekers. Maybe it's, oh, God's got a little bit of glory, but I want a little bit. I want to look good a little bit. He says, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So that just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but so that people can be saved. The best way that Christ is glorified is when lives are changed. So let's go back to Luke chapter 2 here. We're going to see how these shepherds gave glory. So we know that the angels had glory, and they were in the glory of God that was round about them, and they sang glory to God in the highest. So what is the response? How did they respond to the glory of God? And that is in verse 15 of Luke 2 when it says this. When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to another, let's go. That's the first one. Let us go. God has told us something through the angel. We've seen the glory. We know that it's we can't deny that this is heavenly, that this is a voice from God telling us to do something. So action, let us go. We glorify God when we put his word into action. Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went. So they didn't just pay lip service to it. Hey, we should probably go over there. Hey, I really love Jesus. Do you know Jesus? They put action to their words. They said, let us go, and they went with haste. And no, haste is not something you spread on toast. Haste, they didn't let the grass die under their feet. The Lord has given us this. And here's the thing. Usually when the Lord gives us a command, there's an urgency to it. Because when we think about that, there are others who are praying, and we may be God's answer to their prayer. They're praying. God leads it on our heart to say, go there and do that. An example of that would be with the Apostle Paul, who had been praying that someone would come and pray for him so that his blinded eyes may be set free. On the other side of town, there's a man named Ananias who's hearing from God. There's a man named Saul, and he goes, wait a minute, I know about that guy. Yeah, I know you know about that guy, but go anyway. There is a sense of urgency. Ananias went, and we could say maybe that he made haste when he did so. So back to verse 16, when they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger, and when they saw it, they made known. When we encounter God, the way we share his glory, to spread his glory, is they make it known. This doesn't just mean, you know, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. No, say, hey, I got to tell you about this thing that has happened. We saw some angels. I know you're going to think it's crazy, but then we saw the baby, and they made it known. And the saying that had been told them concerning the child, and here we go, and all who heard it. So in other words, those who are hearing their voice are not just hearing a neat story. They are hearing something that has come from the Holy Spirit. When we speak about the glory of God, when we speak what God tells us to speak, those words have power. They have effectiveness. You see, God's word doesn't lose any of its potency from when I read it here to when we speak it here. So when you're in your devotion time and the Lord has given you a word and you praise the Lord and you're talking to your friends, it hasn't left any of its power from the page to the ear of those who we are speaking it to. And so when they heard, and all who heard it wondered what the shepherds told them. All of a sudden the Holy Spirit is doing a work in their life. They're wondering, what could this child be? What do these things mean? But Mary treasured up all these things in her heart, pondering them. Verse 20, and the angels returned, doing what? Glorifying and praising God, for they had heard and seen it as had been told them. So there's all these examples of how we glorify God. And then it says, all this, you put that together? This is how we glorify God and praise him. We glorify him in our words. We glorify him in our actions. We glorify him in our integrity. We glorify him in a life that says, here I am, send me. The glory of God is to be experienced and shared. John 17 says this, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one as we are one. We are little encasements of the glory of God. He has put his presence in us. We have his spirit. And every once in a while we say, here's a little bit of that glory of God. Want to see some glory of God? Here it is. Ask me. I'd love to tell you about this glorious God who lives and indwells in my heart. So I have a few questions for you for our challenge. How will the glory of the Christmas season and the glory of God compel you to give glory to him? Have you ever given much thought and consideration to the glory of God? How glorious is God in your life? They said, if your Jesus doesn't blow your mind, your Jesus is too small. How glorious is God in your life? Do we put everything through the lens and the central focus of bringing glory to God in all that we do? If we're honest, most of us would say, yeah, no, probably not. I like my glory. I like my agenda. So the question isn't, are we giving glory to God in all that we do? The question is, do I have a heart? Do I have a willing heart to say, Lord, I want to give you glory in all that I say and do. I want to be about your glory so that when people encounter us, they see a little bit of the glory. and entices them to want to know a little more further. Say, I want to know more about that glorious God of yours. That's a powerful God of yours. That's a God that listens. That's a God that answers prayer. That's a God that saves. May the glory of the Nativity story draw us to the throne of God, and let us be like the wise men. They bowed down and worshiped. The wise men bowed down and worshiped. The angels in heaven bowed down and worship. Let us join those in the past. Let us be the ones in the present, so that as we come into the future, we will be glorifying this King of glory. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your glory. Lord, we thank you that it makes us tremble. It makes us tremble to think how glorious you are when we see what might look like in heaven. You're the lion. You're the lamb. You're the king. You're the crucified savior. Lord, we think about the people are saying, glory, holy, holy, holy is the one who has come and will always be. Lord, let us be fascinated by your glory. Let your glory be in front of us so that it's always the thing that we're chasing towards to give you glory and honor. Who else is deserving of it? Lord, we thank you. We love you. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that says, boy, that glory of God thing, my heart's empty. I need some of that Jesus in my heart. I need some of that glory in here. Lord, in the quietness of our own heart. Come in, Lord. Be born in the let me in of our heart this morning. And all of God's people said amen. Let's respond in worship.